You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. In this segment of Surrounded by History, we will dig into the history and the stories behind one of our local winter activities that began on the banks of the Maple River over 160 years ago. Jeff, do you have any idea what we're going to be talking about today?
I think we do. I think I got an idea. We're talking about curling.
We are talking about curling. We are going to explore the history of curling in Blue Earth County, and we invite you to sit back and be surrounded by history. Well, when this part of the United States was open to settlers in the 1850s, those who took claims in Blue Earth County were of several nationalities. Many of the settlers who, in the 1856, took claim west of the present village of Mapleton and south toward Winnebago, outside of Blue Earth County, brought the knowledge of a winter sport with them direct from Scotland. And nearby, where the Maple River and Lura Lake, with Bass Lake and Rice Lake further south. Although curling is one of the lesser-known winter sports played in the United States, its history is long and rich in Blue Earth County, particularly in Mapleton, the curling capital of southern Minnesota. The first match was held on the Maple River in the winter of 1856 and 1857. Within a few years, curling was as expected as the snow and ice that made it possible each winter. The big match came to be the one held annually between the Stirling and Bass Lake teams on the birthday of Scottish poet Robert Burns, which was followed by a banquet and program. By 1866, the Blue Earth Valley Burns Club and Curling Club were formed as a joint group to host this annual Burns program and Bonspiel. For 40 years, the game was played on the ice of Rice, Bass, and Lura Lakes, or the Maple River, with only teams from Mapleton, Stirling, and Winnebago City playing. If the ice was snow covered, a rink was shoveled out with the right width and the snow marked the boundary. If the ice was bare, the size of the rink might be shown by lines scratched into the surface, and perhaps by nothing at all. Sometimes straight logs or saplings were laid along the ice to indicate the rink boundaries. If the weather turned warm, curling stopped.
One of my most interesting things about this already is, and this is just in my head, I know that. I mean, people did anything they could for fun and entertainment.
Right.
But at the same time, 1850s or whatever
yep.
it was, like, I'm thinking people are, you know, hard at work. They're trying to stay warm in the winter. But no, they're out on the ice having a good time like we would be today, you know?
Exactly.
And so I always kind of get mad at myself for not thinking that all the way through. Like, obviously they want to have a good time still.
Well, they worked hard during the summer, so the winter was that time to maybe let loose a little bit.
Yeah. Oh.
So it wasn't until the 1880s, so about 20 years later, that the first granite stains were imported from Scotland. Before that, uncut boulders were used by curlers. Later on, old flat irons with attached straps were sometimes swiped from the housewives for the game. But sections of hardwood logs rounded off at the top and bottom with an iron band sweated around the middle, and a handle in the top was soon invented. Some less particular curlers simply took a chunk of log from a woodpile, drove a spike in the top, and bent it over for a handle, and away it went down the ice.
I love that. That's awesome.
Okay, you and I know what I'm talking about, but I wonder if anybody listening has any clue what we're talking about here. Like, what is a stain, and what am I talking about? Logs with spikes sliding down ice and a Bonspiel? So I think we need to introduce the game of curling to our listeners today.
Okay.
So, Jeff, I would love it if you would do the honor of telling us about the game of curling.
I am by no means a professional curler, but I have curled both in Mapleton and in the Mankato Curling Club. So I think I'm
nice.
Ready for this. I'm
nice.
Ready for this role.
It is all you.
While curling sometimes is called chess on ice, although it can be more physically demanding and involves greater teamwork and strategy, which by far is my favorite part of the game, though, is the strategy part. So curling is believed to have originated in the 16th century in Scotland, where a curling stone bearing the date 1511 was discovered, which, holy cow.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Right? Scottish immigrants first brought the game to Canada and then to New England in the United States circa 1830. Some believe the first curling played west of Chicago in the United States was 1856 in Mapleton.
Can you believe that?
Mm-hmm. So they're playing in Chicago, then the immigrants are here, like we talked about, about Mapleton. That's the first place. Once again, that's why it's so rich in history here. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people might not understand curling, but as soon as you get into the culture, you realize a lot of people do it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun.
It is fun.
By the way, Mapleton has become known as the curling capital of southern Minnesota. I think you have more on that later for us, right?
I definitely do.
Awesome. So curling matches, or bonspiels as they're called, take place on frozen bodies of water, outdoor rinks, and nowadays indoor rinks built especially for curling, like the Curling Club in Mankato or Heather Curling Club in Mapleton. A curling team, known as a rink in curling lingo, consists of four players, each of whom handle 44-pound stones, also known as rocks or stains. They are slid across 146-foot-long sheet of ice. It's about rough. There's sometimes different lengths, but that's like 60 feet to bowling alley. So you're going longer than a bowling alley. Just keep that in mind.
Like three times the length of a bowling alley. I think it's hard enough to throw a bowling ball down a lane.
I throw a bowling ball as hard as I can, as fast as I can. So
but I don't think that's the object of the game.
It's not the object of curling. Well, it might not be the object of bowling either. I don't know.
I don't either.
I'm not good at that one. Anyway, it's in hopes of landing closest to the middle of the house. And a multi-circle bullseye-like in the ice marker in the ice near the end of the other ice rink is where you're aiming at. That's called the house. And the game is played by two teams, four members each. The object is to slide that stone or the rock so that it gets as close to the center of the circle or house as possible. Each player slides two stains, again stones, down the ice, alternating with his opponent. The skip or the captain stands at the opponent's house, holding a broom as a target for the curlers. The skip always goes last, by the way. Two players are called sweeps, and they use brooms or brushes to sweep and clear the ice ahead of the gliding stone. This makes the stone travel straighter and farther. After eight stones are thrown at an end, as the end is done, I should say, and the points are then scored by the number of stains nearer the bullseye than the other opponent. So if you have two close before the other opponent's rock, you get 2 points.
Mm.
And you go back and forth on an end. It's based off of 10 ends, and then the game is over.
Mm.
The team with the most points is then clarified the winner. It is called a gentleman's sport, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Handshake before and after, and always followed by drinks after as well. The official USA Curling Rulebook states that each curling stone cannot be greater than 44 pounds in weight and no less than 38 pounds in weight. The handle is included as part of the weight. Stains made by Scottish granite, only found in Scotland. This is by far the most interesting I have. I love this part of the story for curling. The actual stains of from Scotch granite found in Scotland, the hardest rock that is not chipped during play, and it weighs about 42 pounds. So, like, the rocks that they used at the Olympics in Beijing came from Scotland.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, isn't that insane to think about and cool? Like, they only come from, by the way, it's not even just Scotland. It's, like, one island in Scotland.
And the fact that that's where the sport originated and that still has the origins.
Exactly. They hold a very strong stranglehold on that.
Oh.
So, typically, clubs have set up a set of stones, brooms, and other equipment for members to use during play, making curling a very cost-effective sport for all ages. I know we've done a few different events for young professionals, and I actually went curling almost every year for about 5 years for my birthday.
Wow.
I go curling with some friends, and then we go eat barbecue in Mapleton.
Nice.
So I always enjoyed that. And so I always enjoy doing it. I'm not very good, but it's just a fun game to pick up every now and then. I have my own broom and my own slide.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, he is the expert here?
No, I'm not the expert.
Well, that was a fantastic explanation of the sport. I think now when we start using these lingos of rocks and bonspiels, then everybody else that's listening along can follow us. Wow, I am very interested to learn more about this sport that you have perfected. Okay, I won't go that far.
I was an alternate for the Olympic team this year.
Oh, okay, good to know.
Me and John were very... How funny is that, though, that the story has Maybe discuss it a little bit later on, but we have an Olympian right here from our own county.
It's so much fun. So let's talk about that after the break. Welcome back to Surrounded by History. Today we're talking about the history of curling in Blue Earth County. So we were just discussing the sport itself and the game, the rules of the game. So now let's just take a little spin back in history and we'll learn a little bit more about the impact of curling in our county. So back to Mapleton, the curling capital of southern Minnesota. In 1888, remember, curling started in Mapleton around 1856 or so. And so they started really kind of boosting up their club. But by the late 1880s, the Blue Earth County Valley Burns Club and Curling Club changed their name to the Maple River Curling Club. They were still together to support and to host a Burns event in honor of the Scottish poet,
okay.
And they also were still doing curling, but they changed their name.
That's a long name.
I know.
I'm glad they shortened it.
I know. They shortened it to Maple River. So this is also when they purchased their first set of polished Scotch granite stones.
Oh, okay.
Okay. They continued to curl on the Maple River until an outdoor rink was built in Mapleton in 1896. And just a few years later, and by 1894, it was clear that a covered rink was needed. And within a year's time, a building, covered building containing two indoor rinks and a warming room opened by the newly now they've renamed again, the newly named Heather Curling Club. So this is what we know it as today.
Okay.
So, the Heather Curling Club, which is still operating in Mankato, had their first building back in 1905.
Operating in Blue Earth.
Operating in Blue Earth County. Yes,
in
Mapleton.
Blue Earth County. Sorry, you said Mankato.
Mapleton.
Yeah.
Mapleton.
I messed up on my correction of your message, so we're equal.
The Mapleton Heather Curling Club.
Correct.
All right, there we go. So the fun thing, I love this part, on Saturday nights, for many years, the rink was used also for ice skating.
Oh.
So they would kind of double duty, and so it was definitely a community venue.
I bet the curlers hated that.
Well, I think
wrecking our ice out there.
Right. But you know what I was reading is that they would do it on the sides.
Okay.
So it doesn't necessarily on the lane.
Oh, okay.
So you think about how ice skating, they just kind of skate around the outside.
Rink, you go around the outside.
Yep. So upriver in Mankato, in the late January of 1900, Dr. R.M. Dodds of Mankato spoke with the Maple River Curling Club's president about having bonspiels in Mankato below the Main Street Bridge on the Minnesota River. So the Main Street Bridge is about the same location as today's Veterans Memorial
Bridge.
Right,
just to the west of it, technically.
Yes. By this time, interest in curling in Mankato was growing, and Dr. Dodds was spearheading the effort to start a curling club in Mankato that they could call all their own. So at this point, we only have the Mapleton Curling Club. We have people all over Blue Earth County playing, but there's only the Mapleton Curling Club. So Mankato wants their own. In September of 1903, they announced that they are going to have a new organization called the Mankato Caledonia Curling Club. The whole purpose was to celebrate Scotland's and Mapleton's favorite winter sport in Mankato that coming winter. The announcement met with much fanfare as interest for curling had been high in the city for some time. In mid-December 1903, it was announced there would be 24 members entering into the Mankato Caledonia Curling Club in its inaugural year. An acre would be cornered off across the tracks from Dr. Dodd's office and surrounded by a 5-foot embankment. It was proposed that the rink be flooded after each night of curling so the ice would be especially keen for the next bonspiel. Dr. Dodd received 28 curling stones from Montreal.
Wow.
I know, 28 of them.
Oh, wow.
During this time period, curling clubs were active in Mapleton, Vernon Center, Sterling, Winona, and Winnebago City. Okay?
Okay.
So a few years later, the year 1915 was significant for Blue Earth County curling. The Caledonia Curling Club of Mankato opened their indoor natural ice rink at the Mankato Fairgrounds, which at that time were in the north end of Mankato.
Okay.
By this time, the club featured 55 players and had 20 pledges awaiting membership. The new rink cost $2,500 and was 56 by 150 feet in surface area. So they have their first indoor about 10 years after Mapleton has their first indoor.
Okay, now when they're indoor, by the way, they still don't have the cooling system built underneath.
No,
they're just,
no.
It's just cold enough.
It's,
not
just
a,
covered.
It's not an insulated building.
Right.
It just stays cold. Okay.
Just covered.
Just want to make sure.
Yeah, yeah, good clarification. With the return of many veterans after World War II, so we're kind of moving up in the timetable here, both clubs had renewed energy. So even though at the turn of the century, they're both clubs are talking about 40, 50 players, but obviously during World War I and World War II, things mm-hmm. had to be reprioritized. But after World War II, there was a renewed energy for curling in Blue Earth County. In fact, in 1950, Mapleton's current rink with four sheets of natural ice opened, largely built by the club members themselves. Mankato quickly followed with their new building in 1953. Both of these rinks at this time have natural ice. Okay?
Got it.
So, but then shortly after that, around 1955, an artificial ice was brought into the rink and Mapleton, and this is also when they bought a new set of matching stones.
More stones.
More stones. And Mankato added artificial ice in 1957. So the 1950s were really huge for curling in Mapleton and Mankato.
People came back and they wanted to curl.
Exactly. So they added new buildings, more sheets of ice. The ice turned into artificial ice. More equipment was purchased for the clubs. Also at this time, this is really the first time in history where women start enjoying the sport.
Okay.
Because before this, you made a comment, this is a gentleman's sport.
That's right.
So it literally was a gentleman's sport, meaning that women really were not allowed to be part of that activity. But in the 1950s, you can see the investment that was happening with these clubs, and it was also a perfect time for women to start joining the sport as well.
Okay.
So at this time, we know, as we've been talking about it a few times, about Mapleton being known as the curling capital of southern Minnesota. Well, in 1963, they made sure everybody knew about it. So they have a plaque that stands in their Veterans Park in Mapleton. It was placed in 1963, and this is what the plaque says. Cradle of curling in Minnesota. When this area was opened to settlers in 1856, those who took claims were of several nationalities. Among them were Scots in this Mapleton colony. We began curling before 1860 on the ice of Lura and Bass Lakes and the Maple River. The game attracted their fellow settlers and is now the chief winter sport in this community. The plaque was erected by the Maple River Burns Club, the Heather Curling Club, Mapleton Civic and Commerce Association, with the cooperation of the Village of Mapleton and the Minnesota Highway Department, 1962. So, fun little thing.
Well, gotta let everybody know.
Yep, and actually, if you go see that plaque down at Veterans Park, there are curling stones that are sitting there as well. So, kind of a fun way to celebrate their past and their present. So, over the years, both the Heather Curling Club and the Mankato, which formerly was Caledonia Curling Club, now it's just known as the Mankato Curling Club, they have grown into strong and prestigious clubs in Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Each club has multiple sheets of dedicated curling ice, large viewing areas, and spiel or social rooms. We kind of talked about that a little bit. The clubs have been home to world medalists, national and state champions, and even Olympians. Curling was first introduced as an Olympic demonstration sport in the 1988 Winter Olympics. Can you believe it took that long?
Yeah, for it being as popular as it is.
And being as old as it is?
Exactly. I mean,
it's just mind-boggling.
I mean, once again, 1500s was the first stone, apparently. Like, that's incredible.
So, you know, it took until 1988 for it to become a demonstration sport, and it joined as a gold medal competition sport in 1998. So it's still a relatively young
crazy
Olympic sport. So, of course, we have to talk about John Landsteiner, who grew up right here in Blue Earth County in Mapleton, graduated from Maple River High School in 2008, and, of course, growing up in Mapleton, he was a curler. Throughout his youth, he competed and won many competitions, and as a young adult, he has been a three-time Olympian. 2014, 2018, and just this year in 2022. John?
I was going to say, I think they really came to a lot of fame in the sport itself in 2018. Right?
Oh, I would totally agree, because that was the year that Team Schuster, which John was a member of that team, won the Olympic gold medal in curling. He also holds three world championship medals. So a very beloved member of Blue Earth County. I think you've met him, haven't you?
Yeah, he was here at the radio station for 1 year. I got to hold his gold medal, which was, by the way, very cool.
Wow.
Like, never thought that would happen, right?
No kidding. So. Cool. Very, very neat. So, as we mentioned before, the spirit of curling has always been more important than winning or losing. Each match begins and ends with a handshake. Curlers enjoy winning, but not by humbling their opponents. True curlers would rather lose than win unfairly and would never distract an opponent while curling or cheer their misfortunes. Curlers win prizes for their efforts, but it has never been a commercial sport that has encouraged or even allowed gambling. Curling continues to be an all-ages and all-experience-level sport. In fact, as of 2022, there are 28 curling clubs in Minnesota, according to the Minnesota Curling Association. And don't believe that Mapleton is the curling capital of southern Minnesota? Well, check out the U.S. Curling Hall of Fame, a small museum in Chicago's curling club, and check out who makes the list and where they're from. Or visit a country cemetery outside of Mapleton featuring several graves that use curling stones as grave markers.
Classic.
So we hope you enjoyed today's program as much as we did as we explored the rich history of curling in Blue Earth County, past and present. Yet another fun and unique aspect of this great place we call home. All of the information shared today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, with special thanks to the Heather and Mankato Curling Clubs for their dedication to the tradition. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.